Tired of being baffled by healthcare policy? McGuire Woods Consulting presents Complications, Health Policy Unraveled, your solution to the policy puzzle. With our host, Stephanie Kennan, discover the ins and outs of healthcare policy and gain insights crucial for providers and investors. Let's simplify the complex together.
Hello, I'm Stephanie Kennan of McGuire Woods Consulting, and this is Complications, Health Policy Unraveled. Today, I'm going to describe some of the cases before the U.S. Supreme Court that will have implications for health policy. The first case is Loper Bright Enterprises versus Raimondo Relentless Incorporated versus the Department of Commerce. This case involves federal oversight of herring fishing and the Magnuson-Stevenson Fishery Conservation and Management Act. You're asking yourself, what does fishing have to do with healthcare? Well, hang on. This case could impact the government's regulatory power broadly and therefore has a significant implication for the healthcare sector since the healthcare sector is so heavily regulated. The justices are considering whether to overturn the long-held doctrine known as the Chevron deference, in which the courts have accepted leeway to federal agencies to interpret laws, whether ambiguous or subject to multiple interpretations. If the doctrine were overturned, it is likely that more federal rules will face closer scrutiny from the courts. This would have the effect of limiting authority of regulatory agencies and could wreak havoc in the administration of government insurance programs like Medicare and Medicaid, as well as public health programs. Second case, or actually two cases from Idaho. One is Idaho versus United States. The other is Moyle versus United States. These cases revolve around Idaho's abortion ban and how it would interact with a specific federal health care law. The Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, EMTALA, requires hospitals that accept Medicare funding and have emergency departments to provide treatment required to stabilize the medical condition of any individual who arrives at a hospital's emergency department with an emergency medical condition. The primary purpose of the law is to ensure that hospitals do not refuse to treat patients with emergencies who do not have the ability to pay for their care. In 2020, Idaho passed the Defense of Life Act. The legislation made it a crime for any healthcare provider to perform an abortion unless the physician determines in his good faith medical judgment and based on the facts known to the physician at the time that the abortion was necessary to prevent the death of the pregnant woman. The legislation contained a trigger which specified that it would only go into effect 30 days after the power to regulate any aspect of abortion not protected by federal law was returned to individual states. That happened in June 2022 when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Idaho versus United States and the Moyle v. United States present the same issues, but the Idaho case was brought by the Idaho Attorney General and the Moyle case was brought by the state's Republican-controlled legislature. The trial court that heard the cases held that EMTALA preempts Idaho's abortion ban. The court held that the federal law requires Idaho hospitals to provide patients who are at risk of serious impairment to bodily functions, serious dysfunction of any bodily organ or part, or other non-fatal consequences defined as medical emergencies by EMTALA. The U.S. Supreme Court said they would hear the case in January, and the lower court ruling was stayed. Oral arguments are expected before the U.S. Supreme Court in April. Another case before the court involves the abortion pill, mifepristone. The Supreme Court will consider whether the FDA improperly exercised its regulatory authority when it broadened access to the abortion pill. This case is the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine versus the FDA. The plaintiffs in this case are suing the FDA over regulatory actions it has taken concerning access to the drug. The abortion pill was first approved by the FDA in 2000, and the agency required the drug to be prescribed in person over three visits to a doctor. Since 2016, the FDA has expanded access to the drug by allowing patients to obtain it through prescriptions through telemedicine, and the patient can then receive the drug through the mail. It has also expanded the time frame patients could take the pill from 7 weeks of pregnancy to 10 weeks. Plaintiffs argue that in expanding access, the FDA failed to follow proper regulatory actions because it did not study the safety of the drug under the labeled conditions of use, despite being required to do so by the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. They also argue the FDA violated the Pediatric Research and Equity Act because the agency did not require objective clinical investigations or safety assessments on the effect of taking that drug in patients who took the drug past the original 7-week time frame. In its brief, the government says the FDA has maintained the scientific judgment across five presidential administrations and updating the drug's approval conditions of use based on additional evidence and experience. There is concern in some circles that the plaintiffs might not have standing. So the attorney generals of Idaho, Kansas, and Missouri moved to intervene as a sort of a backup. However, the U.S. Supreme Court on February 20th rejected that motion. The decision comes ahead of the March 24th oral arguments before the court. The ruling will have implications beyond access to the abortion pill. Court challenges such as these could open up the door for others to block approval of existing or new drugs that may be considered controversial. Manufacturers may be reluctant to bring new drugs to market and treatments if they are concerned that a court ruling could block their future use. In addition to this case, the generic manufacturer of the abortion pill is challenging West Virginia's abortion ban, and an OBGYN is challenging the abortion restrictions in North Carolina, which include that the abortion pill must be dispensed in person by a physician following a state-mandated counseling session and a 72-hour waiting period. In both cases, plaintiffs argue that the FDA's authorization and regulation of the drug preempts state law banning the use of medication or regulating its use more strictly. Those two cases have not yet reached the Supreme Court. Another case before the court relates to misinformation and whether it is protected speech. In Murphy versus Missouri, the Supreme Court will consider whether COVID-19 misinformation is protected speech and decide whether the federal government violated the First Amendment when it urged social media companies to remove posts and delete the accounts of users who posted or shared content containing misinformation concerning COVID-19 origins, mask effectiveness, vaccine safety, and shutdown measures. The plaintiffs in these suit argue that federal officials coerced, threatened, and pressured social media companies to censor them and thereby violated their free speech rights. Lawyers representing federal officials argue that the federal government simply requested social media operators remove the posts and never demanded that they do so. The decision of this case could have large implications on federal health agencies and officials and their ability to effectively communicate and message public health initiatives. This is particularly true for agencies such as the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who are tasked with distributing accurate and reliable information to mitigate the spread of viruses and diseases. As these cases move forward and are decided, we will provide you updates. Thank you.
That wraps up this episode of Complications, Health Policy Unraveled, presented by McGuire Woods Consulting. We hope you've gained valuable insights into the healthcare policy issues we discussed today. Follow us in your favorite podcast app and never miss a healthcare update by subscribing to host and JD Supra's number one healthcare author, Stephanie Kennan's Washington Healthcare Update at MWCLLC.com. And if you found this podcast valuable, please share it with your colleagues and leave us a review. We always appreciate your feedback. To continue the conversation, send us an email at healthpolicy@mwcllc.com.